morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
It's a good morning, and I'm so glad to have you along for the ride on this Tuesday morning, March 17th. Yes, it's the day I celebrate my heritage and many others around the globe. Yes, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, and you are listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio, our wonderful program today. Excited to share some words of hope and encouragement, because we are stirring in our community. All kinds of things happening in this community and around the state and around the country and world. Things that keep us mindful, things that are opportunities to keep us in a spirit of hope and prayer and being good neighbors and opportunities to let our light shine. Isn't that correct? I just want to let you know, we talked to our friends yesterday, United Way. Of course, last week we had Stephanie Bob with United Way on the show, and we talked with her yesterday, and the response has been incredible. They're spearheading an effort to reach out to homebound seniors, families affected by the school closures, and people have been donating all kinds of things, and they need some extra volunteers. And so if you have a few hours and can help United Way out this week, there's one way that you can engage in a good neighbor, good community effort to impact our neighbors locally. You know, as we encourage, educate, engage, and empower, we need to know what you're doing. We want to know what you're doing to impact your community. And I encourage you to get a hold of us. If you want to email me at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. Well, as we look at the headlines across the state and certainly here in Marion County, the one headline that really stood out to me today is the one that, you know, with the school closure, many people are concerned about the support staff. The support staff are not under the same kind of protections that the teachers are, and their salaries, and not sure how they're going to deal with this loss of income and loss of work. As well as last night, Terry and I went to dinner, and right as we were getting served at the restaurant, because we knew this would probably be our last time going out for a while, the gal had gotten the word that she was going to not have her job for the next few weeks or however long. And she's a single mom, got two children. You know, we have some real impact happening right here at home, and certainly things that we can be involved with as far as prayer and finding out how we can do good neighbor activities to encourage community support and build that community. I ran across this and I thought it brought some perspective. Of course, I'm one that always has said all along that fear is false evidence appearing real. It's sometimes our anxiety can get really heightened during uncertain times when we feel like we're out of control. That fear can get us stirred up, and that fear affects our immune system. Did you know that? Yes, our thoughts and everything that we do can affect our immune system. So we need to walk in a spirit of faith. And here's something that I want to read to you. When hope seems to have faded away like the sun behind a storm cloud, we have our faith to cling to. And faith has always been the silver lining that shines through the dark thunder cloud. Faith keeps us strong. Faith keeps us focused. Faith means we never have to give up, regardless of the odds that have been stacked against us. For faith always rekindles hope anew. To share one of our favorite inspirational messages from Dr. Robert Schuller, when faced with the mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine with God's help. Encouraging words for you this morning. And we have some encouraging words from my friend that I've known. In fact, I was thinking about this. I've known this gal probably since 2004. Her name is Dina Espenscheid, and she is the director of Grassroots Coalitions with the Leadership Institute. I'm going to see if I can bring Dina up here on the air. Are you there? Are you there with me, Dina? me see if I can get... Hello, Dina. Hi, Dina. Are you there with me?
Stacy, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Let me give him a little background about you, Dina. Thank you for joining me this morning. Dina, she is an incredible gal. In fact, I was thinking about this, Dina. When the first time I met you was in the lobby of a hotel during the 2004 election in South Dakota, when we suddenly had to elect a new representative to our Congress.
And oh, dear God.
And that was a long time ago. But Dina has a background working with the Leadership Institute. She is the field director, or she's the grassroots coalition director, but she also has experience working as the field director for Donald Trump presidential campaign in Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Washington, D.C. And she has a wide range of ability to gather the troops, train the troops, and get them engaged in the process. And Dina, you and I shared kind of offline a little bit about what's going on in our community right now in our state and across the nation. And I really loved what you shared about bringing hope to your neighbors. Will you share kind of on your thought process and your what you are doing there locally to make a difference in your community?
Sure thing. I sent a notice to a close Facebook group that I have of the people that I went to high school with and just said, I'm going to be home. I'm healthy. I'm taking my temperature twice a day. And I happen to have extra masks because I was supposed to be on vacation in China right now. And I had stocked up on masks to stop pollution. Well, now they have a different purpose. And so I said to them, you know, if you have errands, if you've got kids and you can't get out and you need something, call me because I can run to the store and drop it off at your house. You know, these are things that I can do to help you. Because really what this comes down to is just community, charity, showing Christian love, showing neighborly love to each other and taking care of your friends and family. Because if we all take care of our neighbors, our friends, and our family, then we don't need necessarily the government to step in and do it for us. I'm not saying the government help isn't nice, but it doesn't have to be over and abroad and beyond, and it doesn't replace what we should be doing for each of ourselves and for our neighbors.
That's exactly right. And I love what you said about looking for opportunities. And for the introverts at this time, you know, staying at home, having some time at home, maybe not having to go to work, working from home. I mean, this is like answer to their prayers. But for extroverts like myself and yourself, this social distancing, that can bring anxiety we're not used to.
It is killing me. I keep saying every day I've had a social distancing fail because every day I find some reason to go out of my house to run an errand or pick up something. Or Friday night I had friends who were traveling through Washington, D.C. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. And I had friends traveling through Washington, D.C. on vacation. And they were like, do you want to have dinner? And I was like, yes, yes, I want to have dinner. And we went up to Washington, D.C. And at 6 p.m. on a Friday night during Lent, we found a table, not just one table, the entire restaurant worth of tables at Legal Seafood in Chinatown. That is unheard of to get a table anytime on Friday night mm-hmm. without a reservation at Legal Seafood. And the whole place was completely empty except for the bar area. Now, it will be empty tonight and for the future because the Mayor Bowser has shut down the restaurants. But, you know, yeah, for those of us who are extroverts, this is a really difficult time.
Yes, it is. But there's ways that we can get engaged with our community and ways that we can look out for our neighbors. And maybe, and I've heard parents, this has been interesting to hear the parents talk about how they're looking for creative ways to help other parents within their neighborhood and their children and kind of doing the sharing thing. I think that's a great idea, too. Tell me a little bit, why don't you go into telling me about your background and what is Leadership Institute and why is it so crucial in training up and reassuring the conservative message?
Absolutely. Well, my background is as a the word just community organizer popped into my head, but I've never thought of myself as a community organizer like Barack Obama was. I worked for a group called the National Abstinence Clearinghouse when I got out of college, and with them, part of their ministry was a pregnancy care center called the Alpha Center, a pro-life pregnancy care center. And so I worked both at a national level and then across the state and locally with our volunteers and networks of people who were either promoting abstinence into marriage or the pro-life cause. I've done lobbying, I've done education from the lobbying and the networking and the community organizing I was doing among the abstinence educators. I started just working on campaigns and volunteering on campaigns, and I found I really loved helping people get elected. And so I've gone across the country working on different campaigns, and then the opportunity came up to work for the Leadership Institute and stay in one location and teach all of the lessons that I've learned through, you know, 20 years of professional life came up, and I jumped on it, and I absolutely love the Leadership Institute. We've been around for 40 years. I've been with the Leadership Institute for 4 years now. We teach people how to grow the conservative movement. And so whether this is by running up for election or helping with a campaign or learning to be a better manager at your job, we teach all different aspects of that. And you can find us at www.leadershipinstitute.org. Our mission is to increase the number and effectiveness of conservatives in grassroots activism and politics. And we do that by doing either trainings to adults or going on campuses and actually helping the students grow their conservative college campus groups.
And over the last 4 years that you've been involved with Leadership Institute, what is the most significant thing that you've noticed as a trend?
Wow. That's a tough one. So I came into the Leadership Institute after leaving the Trump campaign post-primaries. And so I was there when we weren't quite sure he was going to be the nominee and then to when he became the nominee. One of the interesting things I personally noticed was when I first started, I couldn't tell every audience that I was working for the Trump campaign. I would just say I worked for one of the presidential campaigns because there was a lot of animosity at first and a lot of distrust. I think a big change that's happened over the last few years is that, number one, people have realized that promises made, promises kept. The President Trump came in with a conservative agenda. He had true Christian, Judeo-Christian, constitutional conservatives surrounding him, and they have followed through on those things. And I hear the app music.
Yes, and Dina, when we get back, we'll talk about more of that change. Where you're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, news that you can use. We'll be back right after this. Yes, indeed. March 17th at 7:22 a.m. Temperature today going to be in the 60s. Really all week sunny. Overnight lows about 37. Looking forward to getting outdoors. If you're home this week in the next couple weeks, I encourage you maybe think about planting some flowers, spending some time outside, don't you think? Yes, it's good to get fresh air as we are continuing to walk in a spirit of faith and not being held by any kind of fear. Reminded that we have community, we live in the most beautiful part of the country. I'm a little partial to Salem, Oregon, of course, raised here and great memories here and just returned about 2 months ago already. And loving to learn about our Oregon community. And thank you for tuning in, my friend. It's KSLM News Talk Radio. And this morning we are visiting with my friend Dina. And she is with the Leadership Institute. And we met on the pro-life trail, really about, boy, I want to say about 16 years ago, Dina. And it's been fun. It's been from close up and a distance, just watching how you have just bloomed into this. And I know we kind of cringe at the thought of the word community organizer, but we were community organizers before that word kind of got a bad taste in the mouth. And what a community organizer is that we gather up folks around a cause or a call, and we equip and train and make sure there's resources, and then we activate and we encourage them along the way. And that's what you do, Dina. Every aspect of what I've watched in you throughout the years, you have just rolled up your sleeves, gotten right involved, sometimes with no pay. I mean, you just are right there or next to no pay and willing to serve. And that servant heart has done well. And I remember, Dina, early on when Trump was running, you were a Trump supporter and advocate before it was cool. You know what I'm saying? And so at the last break, you were talking about how you were a little hesitant when you first took this role, and you weren't sure how to if you should even share that you worked on the Trump campaign. But over the last, you know, couple years, you've seen as President Trump has followed through with the things he said he was going to do in the campaign, right? He's been faithful in that. Then he's starting to gain some credibility within even his own party, because he is not owned by anybody, right? And so he owes nobody anything. In fact, I think he's the first president that had to move into government housing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask you some questions in regards to Trump. And you know, even those that support him, they might not necessarily like his method of getting his message across, his personality, that New York personality, you know, is a little gruff and rough on the edges. But I know someone personally who knows his family. I know someone personally who's told me that this transformation in his life over the last 25 years is real and authentic. So whoever he was 25 years ago, you know, is not the same guy that he is today, that he's passionate about his country. He's passionate about his family. He's passionate about making America great again. And so what do you say to those who are even within his own party, and certainly those that are not in the party? Maybe the non-affiliated voters are like, I just can't wrap my fingers around voting for, I just don't like him. What? How do you answer that?
It's always difficult because each answer has got to be unique to the person that you're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
We teach a course at the Leadership Institute, or one of our presentations, I should say, it talks about how to talk to moderates and liberals. And we look at the psychology of how it's different when they think and feel, or how they think and how they make decisions is different than how conservatives think and how conservatives make decisions. And ultimately, when you look at the psychology, for moderates and liberals, it comes down to talking about caring and fairness. And so any time that I have that I could point out where Donald Trump was caring or Donald Trump was fair, even though he comes across as gruff or rough or attacking on his Twitters, and his words, oftentimes I'm able to point out, well, but this person said this about him first. And not that, well, he did it first is a good response, but it does help put into context. But then I often transition into some of the stories that I happen to know. Like, for example, and this is one that only I know about, very few people know about, but our very first rally in Virginia, the VIPs got held up with their meet and greet with Donald Trump because he was on the other side of the curtain, on the ground, in his suit, in a dirty room, playing with a three-year-old child that had some sort of disability, a special needs child. And he was on the ground and doing high fives and just talking to this baby as if it was one of his own grandkids. And it was so adorable. And when the campaign tried to take pictures of it, when the photographer tried to take pictures, he said, no, this isn't for us. And the parents took pictures, but we didn't. And so we were never able to talk about this human side to him. In another case, I was in far western Far western Virginia. Sorry, Stacey and I met in South Dakota.
Yes, we did.
Images of South Dakota in my head. But we met in far western Virginia. I was in this meeting in this church, and just talking about how to collect signatures on the petition to get Donald Trump onto the ballot. And this man stood up, and he started crying as he told this story. 53-year-old coal miner who was out of work, and I mean, his hands were still blackened by his work. And he told the story of how his dad and his mom had gone up to Atlantic City and had gambled at the Trump Hotel for a weekend and won big. And Donald Trump took them into his private office while they prepped the, you know, what he does for all the jackpot winners, and offered them drinks. And he said, well, no, I don't drink, but I'll take coffee. And there was no coffee. So Donald Trump himself made the coffee and then delivered it. He didn't just order it up. And then when he refused the check because he said, my bank will never cash a check this big, Donald Trump called in security. They took the people's coats, stuffed the coats with the cash, sewed the lining back up, and then Donald Trump had the security follow them out the door with fake bags of fake cash. They put it in the trunk, made a big show of this, and then the security drove with the family halfway home to make sure that nobody was coming. And that's not the remarkable part of the story. The remarkable part of the story is that a year later, Donald Trump caught up the man and his wife and invited them back to Atlantic City for another vacation. And he did so every year. And they had dinner with Mr. Trump and went to a show with Mr. Trump every year. And that's not the remarkable part of the story, because it was Donald Trump calling the family, not a secretary. The remarkable part of the story is that when the man was about a teenager, Mr. Trump called to invite the family up again. And the teenager was extremely mad and angry, and he yelled into the phone, my dad's dead, are you happy now? And hung up.
Oh, wow.
A few minutes later, a check came for 6 months' pay, and the family survived.
Incredible. The humanity of President Donald Trump. Let's get back to this after this break, Dina. We got Dina with the Leadership Institute. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio. Happy St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. It's 7:36 a.m. And today our weather is going to be in the 60s. Yes, pretty much all week. Overnight low about 37. Going to be sunny. It's wonderful Oregon weather. Get outdoors, enjoy it, take a walk, maybe plant some flowers, work out in the garden. What do you say? I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Tuesday morning. Looking at the headlines, it can get really interesting. All the things that are changing pretty fast. In fact, all these news conferences and updates and things, as you know, schools are closed for the season. They're saying extended spring break. Other things that are going on, many of the restaurants and bars starting today now are closed. Those that can do takeout, certainly allowed to do takeout and continue that way. I'm not sure on the status of where many of the grocery stores are as far as dry goods, as far as like toilet paper and paper towels, but anything that I visited the last few weeks, few days over the last couple weeks have been pretty much wiped out. So that's something that, you know, hopefully you're stocked up on, and certainly it's been interesting watching Facebook and all the memes surrounded about having an abundance of toilet paper stored up. One of the things that I want to share with you, and I think it's really important, is if you're healthy and you're wanting to get involved and you're wondering what to do with your extra time, you can get involved with our friends at the United Way. In fact, Stephanie had a call to action yesterday, United Way of the Mid-Willamette Valley. They're looking for people, volunteers, to help them assemble boxes for homebound seniors and families impacted by school closures. If that's something that you can do, give them a call, 503-363-1651. On the line with me, I have my friend Dina. Dina's with the Leadership Institute, and we've been talking all morning about staying hope-filled and plugged in during this time that we're experiencing. And also, Gina had opportunity to work in the primary for the Trump campaign during his first election. And Gina is one of my dear grassroots friends who really was on the Trump train early on, and then transitioned before Trump was elected to the Leadership Institute, has been there for now 4 years. And she's a grassroots organizer, helping people get connected. And Dean, I have some questions. You know, here in Oregon, I went to high school here in Oregon. And I used to say when I moved away to go to college and then raise my family mostly in South Dakota, and then I was in Arkansas, that Oregon made a good conservative out of me. I think you probably understand what that means, you know,
yeah.
Because I felt at times with my Christian worldview and my my conservative thoughts, and I wasn't necessarily influenced by my family. It was my own learning and experience that that you really learn how to talk your talking points, why you believe what you believe, and you get strong about it. And one thing I appreciate about people in Oregon is there's no lukewarm here. You're either one way or another. You're pretty on fire in how you believe. And we know that when we talk politics, we know that people aren't on the far left or far right. They're not movable. But we have a whole growth in the middle here in Oregon of what's called non-affiliated voters. And really what happens is they're not in the primary process right now. And I'm finding, because of what's happening in the news and how lives are being impacted, people are rethinking that. They're rethinking, well, what makes me a non-affiliated voter? What makes me a Republican? What makes me a Democrat? You know, and I want to help equip people to understand the difference between the two parties and why it's not necessarily the best thing to stay unaffiliated. Can you address that?
Sure. I think right now is a perfect opportunity to help our communities and work together while staying socially distanced, of course, more than 6 feet, but to volunteer and to offer up time, energy, resources. If you see on Facebook that your neighbor doesn't have toilet paper, run them over a roll. You know, share what you've got. Because this way we can actually demonstrate the principles of federalism and everything else, that community is the foundation, not the federal government. That we know what's best. We can make the best decisions at the local level for what's best for our community. And that way, you know, then you can show to your neighbors, hey, look, it worked here. It can work everywhere. We don't like centralized strong government. Centralized strong governments gets, when this started first breaking out, of course, I was paying very close attention to it because I was about to go on vacation in China. And so I was reading up, and they have machine guns on the street corners enforcing curfew and quarantines. We don't want machine guns on our street corners. Ever. And the reason why that's even possible is because their centralized government is so strong and so demanding. And a communist country, a socialist country, needs that eventually because they've got to keep people in line. And we don't want that. We like our system of freedom and liberty here. And capitalism is what makes that work and what makes that available. And the best way to demonstrate that is by doing the charity works that, you know, if you've got extra food, share with your neighbor who maybe worked at a restaurant and is now out of work for the next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. And maybe not invite them over for dinner. Normally I would say that. But maybe you leave a leftover plate on their doorstep, knock on their door, and back up by a few feet. But this way we can show we can take care of our own, and it's all part of the community. It's part of charity. It's part of Judeo-Christian love. It's part of America and what makes us great, and that we don't need to just rely on the government to provide for us times of need and trouble.
It makes me think of Ronald Reagan's quote, President Ronald Reagan, he was the 40th president, government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem. And in what you just said there, we have an opportunity to really show compassion. And I've been told before in my work, I've worked in nonpartisan work before, and people were almost shocked that at the time I was registered, you know, as a Republican. And they were like, but I thought you were a Democrat for sure because you're so compassionate. You're so caring. You love people. And it's like somehow that whole compassion, caring got co-opted by one party or the other, or if you're a Republican, you're not. And I don't quite get that. Do you run across that somewhat too?
I do. I mentioned, or I made reference before to a presentation that we have at the Leadership Institute. It's based on a book called Mind the Gap, which is the studies that were done by Jonathan Haidt, Dr. Jonathan Haidt. Amazing guy. Look him up. Mind the Gap is a fantastic book, and the last chapter of it is actually available on Kindle for like 99 cents. And it's all about how the left and the right look at and think about things differently. Process information differently. And it's because our intuition is different. Our intuition, our gut reaction is different. And so often, the decisions that you make politically, you make quickly, and you don't really think them through until you're challenged. And so it's all gut reaction. Well, your gut reaction, your intuition, is formed by your education and your experiences. And so if your education is watching the evening news and being told over and over again that conservatives don't care and are not compassionate, if your intuition is that conservatives don't want people to have government handouts and that's not nice, then you're more likely to be a liberal because your intuition is that, you know, you respond to caring messages in that we need the government to care for us. Well, I don't want the government to care for us, so I don't respond to caring messages quite the same way, and that's one of the reasons why my intuition sends me to be a conservative, tells me to be a conservative, because I do respond to other types of messages like authority, sanctity, loyalty, fairness, and caring and liberty. So those are the six intuitive ways that we respond to messages. I'm giving you an hour-long presentation here in about 2 minutes. But basically, any time that we can show our moderate and liberal friends and family that conservatives are caring and that we do care, and any time that you can message that, for example, and it's off topic right now, but when I talk about why I want a wall on the southern border, I talk about because I don't want women being raped and children being killed or sold into slavery when they get here because they had to have coyotes bring them across the border illegally. Instead, I want to shut down that trade, the human trafficking trade, and open up the border to more legal immigration. That way it's safe and it's fair, and they could come here and become part of our community and not live in the shadows. And my friends who are very much pro-Hispanic communities can't fight with my argument because they want the same thing. We want the same thing. We just see a different way to get there. And my way is the more caring way. Right? And
yes.
So it kind of softens them on the issue. So that's one thing to do is always remember to talk and lead when you're talking to moderates and liberals from a place of caring and compassion and fairness and seek out ways to make our solutions to problems the caring and fairness solution. You know, right now Congress is talking about an $8 billion deal so that everybody can get like $1,000 stimulus fund and all this other stuff. And I'm telling my intern, he owed me some money for lunch the other day, and I said, keep it. You know, you're going to need it more than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so thankful. $20, who cares? I will never notice that $20 gone. Mm-hmm. To him, it's gas money and a meal and maybe cold medicine. I don't know.
Right. Yes, and that your point is so well taken about how we deliver the message. How we deliver the message is important. Hitting it with the facts, with care and compassion, minimizing the emotion of it, but staying true to life and liberty and protecting that. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this. KSLM. Hello. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday morning, March 17th. Yes, happy St. Patty's Day. Yep, I'm Irish, bright red hair. Proud of it, too. It's 7:50 a.m., and we are living indeed in interesting times. It's time to be educated, empowered, and engaged in our community, not time to hide in fear. You know, when I think about it, that it's this particular time that I get to live in, I'm excited. It's amazing to show compassion and love and neighborly kindness to everybody I encounter. We've got on the line with us Dina. She is with the Leadership Institute. And let me tell you a little bit about the Leadership Institute. It was founded in 1979 by Morton C. Blackwell, providing training in campaigns, fundraising, grassroots organizing, and youth politics and communication. The Institute teaches conservatives of all ages how to succeed in politics, government, and media. The Institute offers 47 types of training schools, workshops, and seminars, a free employment placement service, and national field program, and trains conservative students to organize campus groups. Since 1979, they've trained more than 200,000 conservative activists, leaders, and students. The Institute's unique college campus network has grown to more than 1,700 conservative campuses and groups and newspapers. You know, it really is quite astounding, Dina, to know you, and you are a part of this organization that's really on the ground equipping, training leaders across this country to how to stay strong, how to talk the talking points, because messaging is where it's at, and breaking through the confusion with a message of hope. And you and I know, having worked in the pro-life area and on the front lines, how engaging that can be and how we can stand strong with the facts but also show compassion. And so talk a little bit about the kinds of classes and the things that you do. I know that there's like campaign schools, there's just how to even deal with the media, all of those kinds of things. Tell me a little bit more about the different levels of education the Leadership Institute provides.
Absolutely. Well, during this time, we know that it's been interesting. I keep saying, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse that may you live in interesting times, but we're definitely there, whatever it is. We normally do our trainings in person. So my job, and I think I've got the best job at the Leadership Institute, is to travel across the country and meet with groups of people and train them up on whatever topic it was that they wanted. For example, this weekend I was supposed to be in Spokane, Washington, talking to a convention there and doing a training on communicating and kind of expanding upon what we've already talked about today. Unfortunately, that group has been suspended from meeting by the governor, and so my presentations have been canceled, and I will be home this weekend. So instead, what we're doing at the Leadership Institute is we've taken a lot of our trainings that we normally offer in person, and we've turned them to online trainings and made them available to people across the country. So you don't have to come to Arlington, and we don't have to go to you. The Leadership Institute's website, to find out all the details, is leadershipinstitute.org. So leadershipinstitute.org. There's a whole lineup of classes there. Now, this week, we have got free classes over lunchtime. Unfortunately, it's lunchtime East Coast time, so it's noon to 1 East Coast, which would make it, 9 to...
Right, about 3-hour difference.
10 your time.
Yep.
So after Stacey's show, you can join us for a free webinar. Today's topic is about hiring, firing, and onboarding in a remote setting. And then tomorrow is best practices for remote work. And then the next day, it's preparing your campaign for remote voter contact. And then later in the week, we've got caring for donors and how to talk and work with your donors during this time. Because obviously, donors are probably not interested in giving to normal types of ministries that they normally give to. Like, you know, the United Way you keep mentioning is looking for help. It's because people right now are kind of holding up and holding on. and they still have the work to do. So we're going to be talking about that stuff. And then my department, the department that I work in, is the grassroots department. We do more of the political trainings. But starting next week, our campaign development workshop is going to be available online. And these are all live webinars where you can actually ask questions via chat room and hear from experts from across the country. We're also going to be doing a comprehensive fundraising training live online. So if you work for a ministry and you want to learn how to do fundraising, or if you've ever thought about running for office, the candidate development one might be for you. We've got one on campaign management where we're going to be talking about how to manage a campaign, how to volunteer on a campaign. So if you've ever thought, well, I don't want to run, I'm never going to run, but my friends might, and I want to impact that election, $25 gets you 3 days worth of 3 hours of classes each, so 9 hours of classes. All about how to work and run on campaigns. We've got so many more. We've got about 20 different topics that we're going to be offering between now and Memorial Day, 20 different classes. So look for those at leadershipinstitute.org.
That's outstanding. And when you think about folks that are getting engaged, even in their local races, like city, county, school boards, all of those things, those campaign schools and the trainings really give you an idea of what to do to engage your people and to help people decide, you know, what your message is. Yeah. And how do you, what's resonating, how to be tuned into your own local community for change and changing it for good. And I think equipping, knowledge, engaging, all of that is wrapped up. It's kind of like the ragu sauce. It's all in there, right? The Leadership Institute has that, plus a broad range of people like yourself who come from hands-on experience. They're not just telling you, like from a book, what to do. They've actually been there, done that. They have the stories like you do alongside the Trump campaign in the primary season. Those things are impactful, and they encourage and inspire hope that yeah, I feel like I need to run for something, but I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. I don't even know where to get my petition, that kind of thing, to the most advanced stages of fundraising, how to identify people that line up with you and will give to your campaign. All of that is in there. What is one thing, if someone's contemplating running today, and even though here in Oregon the petition process has closed to get on the ballot and get in the little booklet, but if someone's thinking maybe next time, the next election, I want to get more involved, how many of these classes do you suppose they should take?
As many as they feel, no, wait, hold on. Not as many as they feel they need. As many as they feel they need, and then a few more. We jokingly say that when a person decides to run for office, declares their candidacy, they lose 30 IQ points, which is one of the reasons why they need a good, solid team around them. And so these presentations, these programs are available for people, and the earlier that they get trained up and know what to do, the fewer mistakes they're going to make when they actually start the campaign process.
That's outstanding.
We had a guy come to us a couple years ago, and he stood up because he had an eye patch, and he took a whole lot of public speaking courses and interview courses with us, that type of thing. You know him now as Representative Dan Crenshaw, but he said it was invaluable to him, and he started coming to the Leadership Institute about 4 years before he declared his run.
Okay.
Before his election, but it was invaluable to him to learn what to do, how to do the interviews.
That's awesome, Dina.
So proud.
Well, yeah. Dina, tell them again one more time how they can get a hold of the Leadership Institute and where the website is to get plugged in.
www.leadershipinstitute.org. And if you need to find me, just Google for Dina and Leadership Institute, D-E-N-A.
Thank you, Dina. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in,
Thank you, friends,
to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann, encouraging you to stay strong, stay faith-filled, and remember, my friend, you are an overcomer.